Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. That's right. This is Taino Radio. Can you believe it? We're back. And guess what? This is Monday night, New York City, Eastern Time. And you know what that means, right? What does that mean? That's right. You got it.
Who's that?
What's going on, everyone? How you guys doing tonight? I know we've been gone for a minute. You know, there's been some personal stuff that had to be taken care of from all our angles. But, yeah, it's good to be back, you know. How are you guys doing tonight? How's everything? Okay, anyone there?
Anybody? All right.
Oh, well,
I'm doing good, Lou. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm glad I'm the game, man. All right. I'll get you a little sound recording. No, everything's good. Everything's good. I'm just excited about tonight. You know, I thought we'd do something a little bit different, maybe get people to call in and share their personal stories, scary stories if they have any. You know, I'm going to share one of my personal scary stories and let everyone share theirs and see how it is. Like, I'm excited to hear one of your stories, and I know you always have some crazy stuff happen to you, you know, because I know you have those superpowers that are cool. I wish I had that, but don't all say it. But anyone listening,
make me sound like Spider-Man. Why don't you?
Hey, I'm just saying. But anyone that wants to call in, just want to say the telephone number is 515-602-9792. That's 515-609-792. You can call in at, I mean, anytime. Pretty much it's open. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Mr. Sanacori, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, man, it always happens. It always happens on Mondays. The switchboard goes crazy for some reason. We lost the music for a minute. Now I'm losing my connection here, but I'm back. This is crazy. It always happens in paranormal shows, like Poltergeist or something. But
I blame it on Spooky Steph. I blame it on Spooky Steph. It's her fault.
Me? Oh, what did I do? I'm the most innocent one out of the whole situation. It's my fault. It's my vibration, right? I vibe too good for y'all.
Yep.
It's scary.
I know.
Y'all just like picking on the baby. That's what it is.
It's a lot of love. It's always out of love. You too, Sanacori. It's always out of love. You know that. So, but no, you know, so going back to being scary and scary stories, you know, it's just so weird how certain people have these crazy events that occur in their life and others that do not and they don't believe. You know, it's one of those things, like, why is it that some people do have paranormal experiences and others completely don't and do not believe? Because I myself, since I was a child, had paranormal experiences. You know, I don't claim to be a psychic or claim to have any kind of special abilities, but I don't understand why my whole life I've been able to see things. You know, so it's just really interesting. And I like to get people's opinions on why that is. And I also just like to hear people's stories. You know, I like to get goosebumps and think about how crazy their experiences truly was, you know. So, I mean, it's up to you. Any of you guys want to share your scary stories? And any one of you have – I know Moo, I know you have been around you have actually helped people. But go ahead.
Well, we got one caller. I promised the caller he'll start off the night, okay? He wrote us earlier.
Okay.
So here we go.
Yeah!
Okay, thank you very much for the sharing.
Oh, man. Well, I hope he's all right.
Wait, hold on. So we're going to open up the boards, right? But you want me to start with a story you said?
Yeah, no, I was saying, you know, I'd be more than happy to share one of my scary stories.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it, man.
Sure, okay, I'll start. But you two are going to have to share as well. Because I know you guys are going to have some amazing stories, especially you, Sanagori, because I know I've been around you, and that energy is powerful.
Oh, man, the ghost story, man.
Well,
that's cool,
you know, as a matter of fact, I had a really interesting paranormal experience not too long ago. You know, one of the reasons why I missed this show, I think it was for the past two Saturdays, or, I mean Mondays, we've missed it because I unfortunately had a death in my family, right? So it was pretty interesting. That night, I got up like around 4 in the morning to use the bathroom, and as I'm walking back into my room, I have a room that's next to me to the left, and lights are off. It's a bedroom, and I swear I saw two red eyes in there, right? And I looked, but I was like, I'm going to keep walking because I just saw that, but not tonight because I need to go to sleep. So I went to bed, and I said some prayers because I believe in prayers. That's me. And I was like, maybe it was just me in my head. That's just so weird. But I was thinking about it while I was in bed, and I went to sleep. So that morning I get a phone call from my mom, and then she tells me that my uncle passed away, you know, a few hours or something during that time. And I was like, how coincidental is that? You know, how weird is that, that especially in our culture, a lot of people believe that. They believe you get these signs before someone passes away, or you get to see, you know, like these messages, that, and then it correlates with a specific situation that occurs in your life, you know. So I wanted to share that. That was my most recent paranormal experience. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't done the shows lately. But one of the most scariest things I have ever experienced, I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again thoroughly this time, right? I had a friend, and when I used to live in Canada, I used to live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and there's a reservation called Roseau River. It's a beautiful reservation. So I had a friend and his girlfriend, another good friend of mine. They have family on the reservation, so they always talked about how haunted this area is. So I said, well, you know what, let's go. Let's stay there for the night. Let's go do this ghost hunting. Let's go check it out. So we drive out there. It's probably an hour and a half, 2 hours from the city. Middle of nowhere. It's gorgeous, right? We get there, and we meet with her brother and then her sister. So it's two of us, right? It's three guys and two girls. So they start telling us that there was a massacre not too far from where they live, but they found bodies there as well, and that they've gotten EVPs and all kinds of weird stuff. They also tell me that the Bigfoot goes around there in their backyard, and they also tell me that people have had UFO experiences. I'm like, that's a lot of stuff going on. It's a lot of energy. You know, if someone tells me this, I'm not the type of person that just accepts what you tell me. So I sit there and I listen, and I'll be honest, you know, I'm going to kind of judge you and say, yeah, you're full of it, and you're not. That's just who I am. But I'm not going to judge you in the sense where I won't speak to you. As I get to know you, I try to see if this is realistic or it's not, you know. Just don't take everything at face value, because there's a lot of people that are delusional and liars. So we go out there and we decide to go. They take me into this like road, and it's super desolate. There's no one there. It's completely dark, right? Well, it wasn't dark yet, but it's completely empty. And there were giant like ranches. Like, these people who lived there probably back in the 1920s until the 1940s were like millionaires or something. They're like, they had a lot of money. So we're not supposed to be there. We have no idea why this whole road is abandoned as well. So we go into one house, and in the house, everything is still there. The dishes, the forks, the table set up. It's as if they just left and ran out. Everything was still there, right? And is this music in the background? So then, give me 1 second here. Sorry about that. Hello, are you guys there? Should I lose you?
Nope, we're still here.
Okay.
And you left us with a cliffhanger.
My apologies. So it was just freaky because we had climbed this fence and we see one house. Everything's still there. So we decided to go across, right? And give me one more second. I apologize. I'm having a little issue here. So I'm going across and we find this other, there's another like house, a ranch house, but it's woods. And this trail, you had to hike in there about a good, maybe miles just to get to the house or something like that, right? And give me 1 second. I am so sorry. I'm having an interruption here, and I apologize. Okay, I'm back. And thank you so much. So as we're walking in this path, right, they told me if you keep going down, you get to pure wilderness. And then there's people said they've seen Bigfoot back there. But, of course, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But as we're walking down this path, we get to a section. You turn to the right, and there's tall, like, grass. The grass is up to, like, up to my chest. So you know no one's been there for a long time, right? So as we're there, hold on a second. I'm so sorry. So as we're there, we're walking across, and there's this like a house, right? There's a house. There's like another house in the middle. I don't know how to explain it. And then there was a barn. It's all dilapidated. The house is sunken in, and the barn was still there. So we walked to the barn. As soon as we walked into the barn, one of the girls said, every time we come here, we always leave that door closed, and somehow it's always opened, right? It's just doors inside the barn that leads upstairs. It's real. There's grass all around the barn. Like, it's just tall grass everywhere. Everything's completely abandoned. We go in there, and all of a sudden, when we're in there, we're just hanging out, we're talking, I start hearing, like, a snarl. Like, I didn't hear it at first. The girls are like, what is that? And I was like, what? I don't hear anything. The girl's like, I hear something. And I'm there. And then the guys are like, what the hell is that? Is that a wild animal? All of a sudden, I'm just quiet, and I start hearing. And it kept getting louder and louder. I swear it sounded like, it was like some Disney effect, like you're like in a fake haunted house and someone had speakers up. It was, I couldn't tell where the noise was coming from, and it just got louder. So the girls freaked out, and they just ran. They're like, look at me out of here. Took off across the field. One of the boyfriends went after them to calm them down. I took a picture because they were all the way at the field. I had this picture on my Spooky Loop page on Facebook, and there's three people, but in the picture, there's four people. So you have to check out that picture if you haven't checked it out yet, right? So the guy comes back. I'm scared. We keep hearing the snarl of like an animal, but it sounded like a demon. And then we start hearing footsteps upstairs. It sounded like cowboy boots, like, bah, 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 start going back and forth. Back and forth, and this wild, like, animal sound of a snarl, like, it was, like, it sounded like demonic. So, and I've heard that there was a lot of people would go there and have, like, demonic sessions and do whatever it is they do in that barn. So then one of the guy that's from the reservation was like, well, you know what, I'm going to go outside and check. I was like, well, what if it's a bear or what if it's a wolverine? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you get attacked, you're on your own because I'm not going to help you. I'm from New York. I don't play with bears. I don't understand that life, so you're on your own. this guy, he still went, checked it out. There was no animals. Then he was going to go up in the barn at the top where we heard these cowboy boots. So me and the other guy, so I start talking to it. I try to get an EVP, and I'm like, who's here? You know, what are you? We hear these footsteps from above us, me and my friends, just walk straight above, and they're standing right above us now. And they're stomping. And everything just got quiet. The other guy's on the ladder looking up, so we can see half his body, and we're like, it just stopped. Like, what do you see? He's like, I don't see anything. He's like, there's nothing there. But we all can hear it. And all of a sudden, when I start talking to it, I felt like I got dizzy. I felt like my energy started to drain, and the air just changed. It felt as if I couldn't breathe. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to seem like, you know, maybe it's in my head. And then my friend next to me, his name is Matt, he's like, Lou, I feel like I can't breathe. I feel dizzy. I said, I feel the same thing. And then all of a sudden, you start hearing what sounds like a siren. But it sounds like a siren from, like, the 1920s, like in those movies. It was weird. But we all start hearing it, and like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It was just awkward. And we were like, you know what, let's get out of here. So we leave. So we go to the next house, and when we walk in there, we start looking around. There's like newspapers, there's magazines everywhere. There's a stroller. There's a fridge from like the 1950s or 40s. We found magazines from 1945, and we're walking up everywhere, right? And it was just abandoned. So we were like, let's get out of here. As we walk back out to go out back on the trail to head back, we stop and we start talking about the experience that we just had. And as we're there, all of a sudden, I felt like something, like someone threw water on my forehead. And I reacted. I went, ah! And they were like, what? I was like, nothing. Because I touched my forehead. There's no water. And then we start walking back. I swear I heard footsteps following us from that house. And I heard it just coming behind. Like, we would walk in the woods, and I would hear footsteps. And I'm like, guys, do you hear that? And they're like, no. And then they started paying attention, and then they heard the footstep too. Everyone started freaking out. And everyone's like, you know what? It could be a wild animal. Let's huddle up together because we're together, and they try to attack. We're going to look bigger. And if it's a wolf or something like that, it's going to run away. But whatever it was, it followed us for a mile. We would walk, and I would hear 2 feet just side by side in the bushes. You would look, couldn't see anything. And so we got back into the road, we ran out, and we just took off. That, to me, was one of the most scariest things. Going back, I looked at my footage, and if you ask me, I'll share this footage. I caught this giant black-looking thing. Like it was just black. I can't explain it. And when I'm panning my phone, it looked as if it turned to the side to hide. But it looked like a monster. I don't know what it was, but it looked like a monster. The reason why I say to me this is one of the most scariest things I've ever experienced, because I felt that presence followed us since that day. And I went through turmoil ever since that occurred to me at that time. Thank God it hasn't happened. But I went home, and as I'm laying in my couch, I kept hearing as if somebody was throwing coins on the floor. And it would wake me up 4 a.m, 5 a.m. It was the weirdest thing. And let me tell you, being out here in Vegas, it happened to me once too. And I was like, oh, man, this can't be happening. This is, like, the weirdest thing. So that was one of my scariest stories. What do you guys think? And, Lou, you there? Scary stuff, are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello?
There we go.
What's going on? I was talking to a caller.
Okay. Do they want to share this story? What do you think about my story?
Well, Stephanie, you want to go? You want comments on your story?
No. I'll tell you what. I don't know what you were doing back there. Why don't you let the caller get on and share their story?
All right, we got the caller ready. 1, 2, 3, caller. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
There we go. You're an old Jetstar. His name
going
is...
Who's this, Renee?
Renee, yep, that's right.
Hey, Renee.
How's it going? How's everyone doing?
Good, good. How you doing? It's been a minute.
I'm good. It's been a minute, brother. You know, this is my favorite episode. I love these things, you know.
Oh, thank you, bro. We love you.
Yeah,
we appreciate the love.
Yeah. I love these things, man. I really can't wait because, I'm thinking about doing a little haunting thing one day and visit a haunted house, you know, and get, like, some EVPs and stuff, you know. But, I would love to do that with you, but I think we've been trying to do that for years, remember?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we have been. I know we've been trying to get up.
Yeah,
but
for years.
You know my situation, man. Life, and you know what? Part of the story of that night, I think, is what led me to end up moving out to Vegas. Because I swear, whatever that thing was, followed me, and it was like a dark cloud. It took me a long time to really get rid of that energy, and that's why I don't mess around with anything that's demonic. I stay away from that.
Yeah,
100% if I can. That's just not my thing, you know. But do you have a scary story?
Yes, I do, brother. Definitely. This before I start the story real quick, you know, it's the demonic stuff. It's not that it's a scary thing. I'm not really afraid of them. I'm very curious of certain things. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you a story. Correct. Story. I was coming. I'll tell you two of them actually. I have two little instances. You always have to approach things, especially phenomenons, with a more of a logical explanation, right? Sometimes when you're stressed out and you're going through a dramatic experience, it can allude to certain things in your life, right? Like hallucinations. I give you a great example. My brother passed away in 2010, right? So about 3 days after he passed away, I was living with my ex at the time, who you knew, Louis. And so at the time, it was 3 a.m. And now, I'm not thinking about it. You know, I'm not sure if it was real or if it was because I was going through a traumatic experience because of the loss of my brother. But what I did experience, and everybody in my family knows me to a point where I don't make things up. Like, I'm very skeptical. I try to approach things more from a logical perspective. About 3 a.m, I felt my brother tuggling, but like he was on his knees on the edge of my bed, but he was putting his face, because I could feel his beard, on my leg. So it was basically like he was kind of saying bye or whatever the case may be, but like crying in a way. And I'm kind of like trying to, like, I'm touching his hair with my hand, and I could feel his collar shirt. I could feel his beard, you know. And my ex at the time was like, well, she feels me like going like that. And she goes like I'm making like a sound like her. And she wakes me up. And then she goes, you okay? And I'm like, my brother was touching my leg. Like, I'm serious. Like, he was just touching my leg.
Wow.
So, and they say, and this is actually true, the spirit stays around the family for 3 days, okay? There are different traditions. They cremate or they bury, et cetera, et cetera. The best thing to do is to bury the remains of the person after 3 days so they can leave the family before going. Sometimes if you don't do that, the spiritual can stay in the physical, you see, because you're not giving it time to leave its vehicle to go to the other side. So that was one experience. Another experience, and I have proof of this because I have it on video. One time I was coming from I'm trying to put it in layman's terms because I don't want to tell you where I was coming from because it's a little thing, but I was coming from something that's ritualistic, okay? Right. So when I was coming from it, I was coming from it to something ritualistic. When I was coming, my brother was cleaning the bathroom real quick. I was always joking with him. You know my brother, Lou. And this was about 3 years ago. And while I'm there, he goes, yo, bro, what was that? I saw a big shadow behind you. Again, coming from a logical thing. I said, it's probably the reflection of your hand by cleaning the mirror. Right?
Yeah.
He goes, nah, right? He goes, nah, that shit was big. So I go to the living room, and I'm recording a video to send to my mom. So when I'm sending the video, I didn't see it, but then when I send it, I'm correcting the video, I'm showing it, and there you see an orb right through my face, and it disappears to my couch. And when I saw it, I reversed it slow motion just to see, make sure there's not a bug, because, you know, sometimes they say that. And you can see the orb clear as day going through my face and then disappears into the couch like it's nothing.
Oh, wow. So you got a video of that?
I have a video of that specifically. Yes, I do.
Man, if you want to share it on my Spooky Blue page, please do. It's totally up to you.
I will definitely share it to you into your instant messenger, you know.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I'll definitely share it, so you can see it, But that's just one. You know? But other than that, I don't really rarely get experiences like that. But those are just one, and that's the second one. But that's about it, you know.
Got it.
But like
I said,
you got to approach things from more of a logical thing, you know, because if not, you're going to drive yourself crazy, you know.
Yeah, because you don't know, and depending on the cultures, I think that also has an influence. And plus, for some reason, I really think that we do carry that energy, especially from our backgrounds and our cultures and the way we're brought up, you know. And all the stuff that we're told. And
I have a few videos of the orb because it felt like it was following me for a while. I got one in the gym. That one, I showed my mom. I said, check this out. And it felt like Dragon Ball Z, you know, the little ball. So I'm going, I'm doing kata, which is in karate, is a form. So when I'm doing kata, you can see the ball coming through my hand simultaneously.
Wow.
When I'm controlling, when I'm doing this to my hand, simultaneously, it follows my hand. It's crazy. It was like something was coming, doing the form with me. And you would have thought that I'm controlling this ball of energy with my hand. But you only can see it through the video. It's unbelievable.
Well, I have a question. What do you think that was?
Yeah.
Do you think that was your own personal energy? Or do you think that was some sort of, like, spirit that was guiding and working with
right.
you?
That's a great question. Now, according to some traditions, they don't believe in the tradition that I come from. We don't believe in the hell or anything like that. We don't believe in seances. Because we believe that's kind of dangerous, which the correct term is called therapy, right? That type of thing. So now, we don't necessarily know what are orbs, right? But there is scientifically proven that it is an energy. It's a ball of energy, but we don't know if it's the energy of spirits. You see what I'm saying to you?
Correct.
It could be your own energy. It could be the Earth's energy. Because sometimes, and this is a proven fact by scientists, that apparently at 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning, when the sun sets, and the first time the sun hits, there is something called the continuity conductivity, I believe that's the term. And what happens is the sun hits the earth, and only a few seconds is live, and that's the energy that it hits. And they found that there is that ball of energy is the same energy when the sun comes in. Now, it could be from your own energy, which the Japanese called ki, the Indians called it prana, the Chinese call it ki, I'm sorry, the Japanese called ki. It could be, but we really don't know, you know?
That's still fascinating, and the fact that
you
caught a video of a situation like that is pretty, that's pretty profound, man. Yeah, please share it. I would appreciate that. Please share it.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know if the thing that I got from my house, I'm not sure if it followed me, right? I don't believe that things follow me, to be honest with you. It's hard to explain, but I don't believe it, right? But because I've been to situations where I've been to things like, you know, I've never had that experience where things ever followed me before or attached to me, you know what I mean?
Correct.
Because if your mind is, let's say if you keep thinking about something like, let's say you keep thinking about, like, okay, man, this thing, you're around someone who is into black magic, and your mind keeps fucking with you that way, like, all right, this guy's into magic, I'm afraid something's going to follow him up. What happens is the intention, the way your mind is, you keep thinking about it, eventually it's going to happen, right? There's a book called Mental Poisoning that talks about that. It's a very good book.
Deep. No, definitely. And that's and that's where I feel like you and me differ, because for me personally, like I've had my own personal experiences, and I feel that, you know, so for example, what I felt to mention in my story earlier was, like, before I went anywhere, I put holy water on my forehead, right?
Great.
When I left, check this out, right? When I left and I heard and I felt those footsteps in the woods, it felt like someone threw that holy water on my forehead, like a stain. And I was like, what is that? What happened, this is the part that I didn't really get explained better, I should have explained it better, is that when I went home or I'm hanging out with my friend Matt, I was, from time to time, I'd just be there talking to him or somewhere, and I would feel that sting on my forehead. And I was like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Yeah, that's why I knew. I was like, well, I don't know what this is, but I felt like whatever it was followed me, because it happened from time to time. I'd just be there and I would feel that sting on my forehead where I put the holy water on my forehead. That's why I know, because I've came across the demonic stuff. You know, I've actually saw someone that was possessed. And the reason why I believe it is because I knew it was a family, and I know them personally. It wasn't like someone off the streets or someone. I know these people for years. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, before Stephanie, I know Stephanie's, I want to hear Stephanie's version as well, because you said something about possessions. Mm-hmm. There is a book, and this guy is actually not a priest. He is a psychologist.
Okay.
A priest, this is a true story, because I read the book, and also the guy was in a podcast talking about it. Hopefully they make a movie out of it. But I know a friend who interviewed him, but he was saying that he had a priest come to him, to his house, because he was a very skeptical guy, and he used him, and he also a psychologist. And the priest knocked on his door. First of all, before I get to the story, he had a cat. Him and his wife always had a cat, and the cat always sat in the bed with the other cat. And him and the other cat started fighting, and he was like, that's weird. So anyway, he gets a knock on the door, and there's a priest with this woman. And he tells the guy, he says, doctor, I need your opinion on something. He goes, you know, it's kind of late. He goes, no, I need you to really evaluate this woman. It's an emergency. And the woman claimed, he said, this woman believes she was possessed. And he goes, and he was upset because you brought her to my house. Not that he's very skeptical. And then all of a sudden, this is when he got curious, because she says, hey, doc, how was those two cats? Right? Weird, right?
What?
How was those two cats? And that's when he was like, what the hell? So he started evaluating her. She was into a cult, and she was a breeder. What I mean is, she was into she was a high priestess. They would use her to give babies. They were all kind of sexually. She was the breeder of all this cult. And the book, he named the cult because he was afraid they would follow him or something like that. But in the book, he names her something different. He don't even call her real name. And there was a time where he was in the car, and the priest, that's when he felt the demonic woman, whatever that was inside her, threatened the priest. And he was just like, I was just happy she wasn't talking to me, you know, but he heard the voice, you know. But
he heard the voice.
Yeah, he heard the voice. He was driving, and she was in the back of the car with the priest. You know, and then it was a true story. True story. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, when it's one thing to hear, you know, a story off of someone else, but when you actually experience that, and the reason why I know this is true is because I know these kids, I mean, they're not educated. They're regular guys off the block, you know, regular people. I've known them. And when I heard them speaking what sounded to me, Latin, and saying the most vile stuff, and it was a different voice, man, dude, it was one of the most scariest things I've ever experienced in my life. The scariest part was he came up to me and looked at me in my eyes. I hate talking about it because it brings back that feeling. And the feeling that I felt was, it was like looking into like emptiness of death. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was the most disgusting feeling that I felt, and I couldn't even look at it. Even talking about it is hard for me because I get kind of that feeling that I felt when he looked into my eyes. It was the most scariest thing that I've come across. One of another of the most scariest things, you know. But not to, because we don't have that much time, does anyone else have time to share any stories or anything?
I know Stephanie.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, I think we have another call.
I have a caller.
Absolutely.
Just got off the phone with a caller from the mountains of East New York. We have...
Well, that's me. That's my phone.
Maritza. Otto Feliciano, huh?
Oh,
hi, Lou. Hi, Sanokori. Hi, Renee.
Hey, thank you for calling.
A fellow East New York.
East New York, that's funny. East New York in the house. Well, Maritza,
that's right.
Thank you for blessing us with your presence. So what's your story? We're ready to hear it. What's going on?
So actually a week from today, last week Monday, I was waking up at like 6 o'clock in the morning with a phone call from my aunt telling me that one of my cousins passed unexpectedly. And so we have our conversation about that, and I decide that I need to offer up some smudge. You know, I get my bowl going. I've got my sage and my Palo Santo and some other things smudging, and I have an altar in my home with a semi and some items that are sacred to me and a picture of my grandma because she's my ancestor. And I'm smudging the altar, and it's like, okay, grandma and the semi, they need some coffee. So I go and I make some coffee. And I give them some coffee, and I give them both a piece of cassava. And I start thinking, I need a picture of my cousin. I need to offer him some smoke as well and place it on the altar. And as I'm looking through photos, I just start to feel like I need to also honor my cousin's mom, who passed some years back as well. And I finally settled on a picture of cousin and Titi. So I set the picture down on the altar next to grandma, and I start smudging Titi, and I start smudging my cousin. And I swear, I promise you, I can hear grandma, like, just getting ready to do what grandma does. Now, Titi is not a coffee drinker like grandma was. And so what I did instead was I offered her a shot of alcohol, talking to Titi, saying, I hope that, you know, you and Primo can have a drink of reuniting together, and just talking to Titi and grandma and asking them to greet him and to guide him through his transition. The moment this little shot glass touches my altar, I can hear grandma screaming at me not to give Titi the shot of liquor. A little bit silly.
Really?
Yes, I swear. Well, I can hear grandma screaming at me.
Like physically and here? Like she's in the room with you?
Like in the room with me. I can hear grandma, don't give her that bullshit. Da 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 da. And I start arguing with my grandma. I start arguing with grandma, like, yo, Titi and Primo, you know, they need to have a moment to reunite. Like, let her have this one thing. Let him have that thing. And we're going back and forth. I'm arguing with my grandma's spirit. And she finally settles on a compromise that I need to get her flowers. Okay, grandma, I'm going to go get you flowers. I go on this mission, and I can't find flowers anywhere. All the usual spots in East New York that I would have gone to, I can't find flowers. And as it happens, I'm disabled. And when I'm traveling around on the train or on the bus, I start to get aches and pains. When I come back home, I'm just done. I'm done with traveling. And I give my teenage daughter some money. And I ask her, go check over there at the bodega if they got flowers. I don't have the strength to do it. They have flowers, but I didn't give her enough. So when she comes back and tells me this, I'm like, okay, this must not be the flowers that grandma wants, right? Couple of days, it's still in my head. The next day I have to go into the office, it's still in my head. And I go to different places. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bushwick area, but there's always street vendors. There's a lot of places that sell flowers. And everywhere I go, if I look at the flowers, they just don't look appealing. If I touch the flowers, they're wilted. They're not looking great. I'm like, this is not acceptable. Finally, I find a mixed bouquet. And I take the mixed bouquet. Nothing's wilting. Nothing's looking like it's dying. I'm like, okay, this is a good bouquet for grandma. I bring it back home. I am a person who believes that my grandma will talk to me when she needs to, even if I don't hear her voice. I get back home, okay, and I'm like taking the bouquet apart, right? It's got tiger lilies. It's got roses. It's got daisies and carnations and some other flowers. I pick up the roses. Again, there was nothing wrong with this bouquet. Like, I made sure that everything was okay. I pick up the roses, and the petals fell right off the stem. All right, Grandma, you don't want roses. I get it. I pick up the tiger lily, and I can hear Grandma, no, go put it over there in the kitchen, like for my own thing. All right, okay. Grandma, I got you. I pick up the carnations, and Grandma's like, all right.
Wow.
I pick up the daisies, and the daisies, like, I don't know, the pink and the yellow in this daisy, all of a sudden they seem brighter, and I'm like, okay, Grandma, I got you. I pick up another carnation that was dyed purple, and that one gets brighter. Okay, Grandma, okay, I got you. And I go with this whole method. I'm like, all right, whatever doesn't fall apart or whatever, you know, seems to be brighter when I touch it, I'm guessing this is what Grandma wants.
Okay.
Remember, the day before I made coffee, this is important. I make Grandma's little bouquet out of the other one that I had bought, and the rest I put away in the kitchen. I set the bouquet down next to the altar for Grandma, and I go about the rest of my business. Hours later, I come back, and Grandma's coffee is gone.
Oh, really?
Grandma's coffee is gone.
What?
And this tells me, like, Grandma's super happy with my offering for peace, because she needed to pull rank and tell me about myself when I tried to give Titi and my cousin a little shot.
Wow.
So I have successfully appeased Grandma.
That is a blessing to have been able to be able to communicate with your grandmother, and then on top of that, you know, for her to, you know, to confirm, to give you confirmation that, you know, what she said was the truth, and to have that coffee disappear means that you probably make some great coffee. I'd like to come over one day if you can make me some coffee, if that's okay.
Well, you are totally invited for some coffee.
I was just kidding, but no, absolutely, and I really do appreciate you sharing that, honestly, because I know that that's it's coming from the heart, especially dealing with your family members like that. So thank you. We also have another caller calling right now, and they want to share their story. So just hold on, and we're gonna get them in now, right, Lou? You have somebody else?
Yeah, we
maybe
got
not,
we got someone from straight out of the mountains of Tennessee. We have Will.
Hey, yay, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, what's going on, Will? How's
hey,
everything?
Will.
Hey, good, good. Shout out to everybody listening to the show. And, you know, my heart goes out to all of the Adiyeke tribe, of course. You know, we're all family, so I'm glad to be here. What's going on?
Thank you. Thank you for of course, you bless us with your presence as well. It's your presence as well. We really do appreciate you calling in. Please let us know. Let us know your story. What's going on, bro?
Well, not that really. I've been hearing the stories that have been going on. A lot of people have been giving, like, kind of their rendition of, you know, interactions with spirits or ghosts and stuff like that. Me, myself, I personally live in a house right now. We have a ghost that lives here. You know what I mean? So we're on constant dealing with the situations all the time. Now, I'm not going to call myself a psychic or anything like that, or I'm going to have a television show, but I do. I'm very sensitive to that type of situation. I can feel when spirits are around. I can tend to tell what they're feeling and express that. Now, some people might say, well, how do you know what you're feeling is right? Anybody could say they feel anything. Woo. So I'll give you a background story that just recently happened that kind of just let me know that what I'm feeling is real. I often take my wife thrifting. She loves to go to thrift shops, and we have one here in a small town. So we're there one day, and as we're coming outside, she's sitting outside waiting for me to go get the car. She ended up talking to a woman who had some stuff she was willing to give away for free. Her mom, you know, had passed away, wants to give away some stuff. That way we don't have to pay for it. Well, we'll cut it down the story a little bit. We end up going to this woman's house. You know, she gives me a flat screen television, gives my wife a couple of blouses her mother had owned. Well, while we're in this house, I have a strong feeling that we're not alone. It's more than just three of us here. And I just kept feeling this anxiety feeling, this feeling of, you know, something's wrong. I don't like what's going on here. I'm not happy with it.
Correct.
So as my wife is talking to the woman in her mother's bedroom, I kind of venture into the living room on my own. I get this crazy feeling. Now, usually I don't say anything to anyone, because you tell somebody something like that, you don't know from Adam, oh, this guy's a quack, you know, you don't, please don't do that, I'm religious, I you know, work under Jesus, whatever. So, you know, but something was telling me, say something. Tell her right now what I'm saying. I looked at my wife, and I looked at this woman, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I was like, but I don't know how you feel about these situations or what I'm about to tell you. In all due respect, we're not alone. I said, your mother is here, and she wants me to tell you, stop giving away her stuff. She's worried about her stuff. Don't give away these cars, and please don't touch those knickknacks. The woman looking dead in my face, she dropped what she had in her hands, and she opened her mouth, and she goes, you are 110% right. My mother was a hoarder. I don't know how you know that. But she cared more about those cars and those knickknacks than probably anything in this house. And I was like, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put that on you like that, and I usually don't do this. But she's telling me to tell you. She doesn't like you giving away her stuff. She doesn't like these people in her house. She doesn't want her stuff leaving. I said, she's okay with what we have. I guess she has no attachment to this because I don't feel like I should leave it. I was like, but on the other hand, she's very worried. And she started, you know, reciprocating other stories that have happened since she had left and weird things and others. So, you know, I've dealt with that situation, and I want to tell most people, if you feel something and it's not what you normally would feel, trust it, because sometimes you have a connection to that side that you might not have, especially with passed on members. You know what I'm saying? I've had a lot of experience with ghost hunting and EVPs and, you know, pictures and stuff. So, I mean, take it from me, not like I'm a super duper expert, but from one pure heart to the others listening, you know, it's possible. You can have that gift and just not know you possess that. A lot of people run from it. Some people, you know, experience it as migraines, headaches, you know, having anxiety attacks, sweating, goosebumps. I mean, there's this whole bunch of things that go along with that. But that's just one of the experiences that I've had personally outside of, like I said, the one that's living here at my home. I address her Nana Mama, because when I've seen her, the apparition that she gave us was an African-American woman dressed in maid uniform. And after we did the research of my home, where we're living at now, used to be a part of another house on my block as a plantation. So we're living in on top of what used to be slave quarters. All right.
Wow.
And in the South, in Tennessee here. Yeah, I'm telling you. In the South, in Tennessee here, you get a lot of places that are just built over and other homes. You see blocks that have all these houses on the block, but they were built there later. A lot of these were plantation homes. So every once in a while during the summertime, if it gets too hot, she'll pull the sheets off of you. She'll cut the fan on in the window. She'll close the window. You know what I mean? She does things like that. And then the other
afternoon, like,
yeah, I'm serious.
I have to ask you, Will, and thank you for sharing. So wait a minute. Have you seen this apparition, first of all? Like, have you seen her?
I've seen Nana Mama. I've lived in this house for 15 years. I've seen Nana Mama 3 times. I feel her every day. And the other apparition that is here is a younger white girl, small, young. She's very scarce. You only see her on your peripheral vision. Me, I don't get a full apparition of her. I guess she's a little afraid of me because if I get angry and yell, you know, Puerto Ricans, we just go off the handle sometimes. And she doesn't like that too much. So she'll only peek into a room if I'm there, or she'll knock something or make a noise. And I communicate. I don't bug out. I know you're here, little lady. That's fine. You know, I don't mean to disturb you. It's cool. We've just, you know, had it to the point where we've just got a place at peace between the soul being here and us. You know, we live in, and it's another weird thing to say, is like we live in dead center of the whole city. So, you know anything about energy, it flows to the center. So when there's bad, you know, stuff going on around the town and stuff like that, we feel that energy here, our whole family, just a bunch of viable people. So, you know, even sometimes I think the apparition, she gets so strong, she makes me physically sick. Because I can feel her. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Hug,
yes,
hug.
Yes, I know what
yeah,
you're talking
man.
About.
So it's wild,
I have a
man.
Question.
It's wild living with one. Yeah, go for it.
I have a question. What does she look like? Mama, well, I forgot what you call her. What is she?
I call her Nana.
Can you describe
her? I haven't. Oh, yeah, sure. She's about, I could say, give or take, anywhere between 5'5 and 5'7. Medium build, maybe about 100 pounds or less. She's kind of skinny. She wears a white top with a black skirt with a white, like the old-fashioned maid bonnet that used to tie around the neck and then go around the waist. It was a long oval sash that set out to the front. Black shoes, white bonnet. That's really always it. You always see the dark apparition, never really clearly her face, but just the apparition comes up every once in a while. Like you might catch, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
When you first saw her, like, did you get scared? Did you react? Did you, like, who the hell's in my house?
No, I didn't get scared. When we first came here, you know, we all kind of felt something. We knew that something was up. Things are moving, fans are cutting on, windows are open and closing. All right, it's one of those days. So I went to bed one night, meditated really heavy, like really trying to open myself to be like, communicate with me. I'm okay. I'm not afraid. You know, about a day or two later, I'm coming through the house at night and, you know, very few lights on in the house. So I'm coming through, and when I come through my foyer, I see her standing right there, just as plain as I would see a shadow of my wife or my son, just standing right there passing through. And I stop,
wow,
and I look, and she stopped, and she's just staring at me, not moving, I guess waiting for my reaction. So I just stopped and said, I was like, all right, I respect that. I respect you. I don't want any problems, and if I do at any point, at this point, you know, have disrespected you or your home or made you feel uneasy, I apologize. But let's try to live peacefully. You know, and I turned around and go back to the room and let me talk to my wife. I turned back around. She was already gone. She's already gone, disappeared. So I told my wife, and she's like, you know what? I've seen her in my dreams a number of times. So she's come to my wife in her dreams a couple of times, you know, to let her know, hey, I'm here. I'm going to take care of y'all best I can. When we moved here, we had babies. They were babies. Now they're 18, 19, and 20. So, you know, she was always protect babe, you know, mom, somebody keeps taking the sheets off at night. I'm cold or I'm cold and the sheets too much. I get too hot. Stop putting the sheets on me. We're like, we haven't done it, Poppy. We haven't gone in your room and touched anything. So, you know, that's probably Nana Mom. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
Ain't no reason to be afraid. They can't do much of anything to you.
That's a deep story. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I told
my wife this one not too long ago. I work for a maintenance company, and we clean out different places, all types of businesses. I personally handle a dialysis place where they clean kidneys. Now, in this place, you know, they got a crash cart. They do those, you know, things happen. People pass away. They slip. They die under dialysis. That's fine. I started working at this place, and I started feeling stuff. I'm hearing noises. I mean, machines would cut on out of nowhere. Laptops would cut on, you know, type of things like you have to touch the mouse in order for it to cut on. One of those things like in a doctor's office. So, you know, I'm hearing all this, and I'm like, man, I told my boss, I'm like, yo, I think there's something in there. He's like, man, that's why I won't go in that place too long, because I know there's something in there. So when I went back to work, guys, I'm telling everybody on this, and this is my soul to all of you as an honest story, and you guys can take this one to bed with you. I started communicating with one in me. It started making noises, moving things that I know don't make noise without it. I like to debunk everything because if it doesn't make sense, it's not real. It's just me busting out. I couldn't debunk anything, Lil. I'm being honest with you, bro. I couldn't. You can't debunk these televisions cutting on by themselves. Each seat has their own television, and you cannot cut it on except by pushing the power button. 3, 4, 5 televisions a night cut off when I go in there. I've worked there for over a year. So I constantly in that place and being contacted. I had to talk somebody over. It was a bad spirit. It was angry. It was making me feel anxious and angry and depressed and just, you know, a feeling of a great loss. And as I started talking to this person, which I tell everybody, if you run in contact with a ghost or a spirit, don't be afraid. Just talk. They want to communicate. They want to know somebody can feel them. And sometimes if you talk them over with the grace of just going to the other side, or passing over, however you want to call it, going to heaven, whatever, you got to talk him into that. And I had to end up talking this spirit in there, and it's, you know, been pretty clean in that place ever since I've done that, you know, at least for that angry type. But, you know, it happens to people, man, and people shouldn't share, you know, keep those stories, share them. You know, it's good stuff for everybody who run into that, so they're not feeling like you're crazy. You know what I'm saying? How about you? How many stories you got?
Oh, I have so many, and I'm definitely going to share more. But I have a question for you. Have you ever came across something that really scared you? Like, you just didn't understand what you were seeing. Here's another story, because speaking, I remember my stories. One time, and then if you have one, please share. I was at this bar. Mm-hmm. I was with this girl, and we went to this bar in my neighborhood. It's an old bar, you know, old part of New York City. And in the back, they had the lights kind of off. It was dim. It was like a pool area. The bathroom's down there. You have to walk back there and go upstairs to these bathrooms. But nobody's back there. So as I'm drinking and I'm talking to one of the bartenders from the side, I see someone walking by. When I look, it looked like someone walked across from like coming to like upstairs into the bathroom and walked across towards the pool. But they looked like a monster. It looked like a blob, deformed, like a deformed person walking by. And I said, "What the hell did I just see?" Like it was pretty scary. It was disgusting. You know, it didn't look human at all. But it walked like two legs, whatever it was. And then I asked him. I said, "Listen, man, anybody ever say they see weird stuff?" He's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I don't know. Anybody ever say, you know, things happen?" He was like, "Yeah, you know, all the time. We're closing up. Things break. People hear things. People said they've seen things." I was like, okay. Thank you for sharing. But that was pretty scary because I didn't want to go to the bathroom after that. But I was like, that was weird. Right. But have you ever seen anything?
Okay, I can remember. I know you must have been like, you had to think twice about even wanting to have to use the bathroom.
What happened? What happened?
I said you had to think twice about wanting to use the bathroom even in your own house after that.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. I've been that situation.
Yeah, I mean, like I tell people too.
Go ahead. Did we lose you?
Yeah, I think we lost him. Let's see if he calls back. Mountains of Tennessee.
The Mountains of Tennessee, there you go. So, go ahead, if he calls back, we'll get him back on. But don't you have a story yourself? Or is there any other calls?
Well, let me tell you, my this happened, I would say, 8 years ago. We went on a trip to Cape May, New Jersey, South Jersey. And what happened was, this is an old town in Cape May. And there is a retreat house run by the Presbyterian Church, right? And it used to be a home for women who were either abused or domestic violence, you know, things like that. So the church was teaching these women how to be self-empowered, you know. Now, this is like way back in, I think, believe 1920s, this house was built, you know. So it's a very old wooden house. So the Presbyterian Church made it into what do you call that again? Retreat house for its members. So my daughter, since she was real little, she was part of this church choir, Presbyterian, classically trained singer. So I was one of the chaperones, right? So we went to Cape May. I was one of the chaperones. And, wow, I believe I got there late. Oh, I had to do an errand or something. So they already had – it was after dinner. You know, again, I just want to emphasize this is an old house, maybe 19 – maybe before the 1920s. So I was just like, wow, this is a cool house. Like, wow. And the town itself is very old, a lot of Victorian homes, very old. So what happened was it was after dinner, and I went – they had like this little – I guess they call it the sunroom. And it had a lot of chairs, had a lot of tables, you know. They had magazines and stuff. So I sat
down.
What
was the sunroom?
Was that?
What was the sunroom
like
formed?
Yeah, it was like the sunroom. It was like the sunroom where you can see like the you can see outside. It had like all these windows, you can see outside. And so I just chilled. You know, the kids were hanging out inside, talking. You could hear them. So then I'm sitting, right, and I took one of the magazines and said, oh, let me just chill here. This is so cool. You hear the crickets and stuff, you know. And all of a sudden, across from me, you know, corner of my eyes, I see a woman, and she had a white skirt above her, was above her knees, and she had high heels, like white high heel shoes. Now I'm looking there, right? I'm like, oh damn, you know, like what? Like,
oh, she hot?
See, I didn't want to say that, but
I'll say it. So you said.
So
you saw someone, and you described someone, and you thought it was hot. But did you see her clearly? Like you were looking at her?
Oh, it was clear. She was definitely white American. She had white legs, white skirt, white high heels. So I'm not trying to look like a pervert or anything, but you know, I'm peeping her, right? I'm like, wow. So then all of a sudden I just caved in. I'm like, you know what? So I popped my head up, right, to see how she looks. There was nobody. There was only legs.
Really?
And a skirt.
Just...
There was no body. So I got the hell out of there.
Uh-huh.
And I never been scared in my life than that night.
That's
so I went,
wait a minute. I'm a little confused, Lou. You saw a hot, sexy ghost and then you got scared?
It was just her legs,
like...
I saw.
Oh, you saw some sexy legs, and then you got scared because you realized there's no one there. Wow, that is kind of freaky. See some legs and no one.
There was no body. Ooh. I'm looking at the body. There was nothing there. So
she must have liked
you.
So
I'm like,
go ahead.
And she had her legs crossed. So I'm like, I'm getting out of here. So I went and I told my daughter about it. I said, my God, I just saw legs, a lady's legs. That's all I saw. Right? And she's like, what? Because my daughter has the gift of seeing dead people, you know? So what I said was like, oh my God, what's going on here? So later, I believe it was the next day, one of the retreat people told us ghost stories. He said, listen, there's a woman who used to live in this house. Don't be afraid, but sometimes you can hear her walking around. And she's very, very strict, right? And she was trying to like scare the kids, like if they act up or if they get all bad and stuff, that she doesn't like that. That you're gonna, and all the kids got like scared, like what? So I looked at my daughter. I'm like, I saw her. I saw her legs. I know exactly what she's talking about. So I spoke to the lady that was talking about it, and I said,
that's
a true story, right? I totally believe it. And then the lady was like, what? Did you see her? I'm like, not only did I saw her legs, but that's all I saw. And then she was like, yeah, man, we always hear stories about her, that she walks around middle of the night, whatever. So then that same night, no, it was the next night, my daughter couldn't sleep. Why? Her sheets were being moved all night long. And then finally when my daughter couldn't take anymore, huh? Like, you know when someone takes your sheets?
But I mean, she was awake feeling the sheets being taken off of her.
Yeah, she was awake, and then at one point, boom! She took the whole sheet. She took the whole sheet. So my daughter was like, "Oh my God, what's going on here?" So, but I tell you, to this day, I bet my whole life in this, man. I swear I saw those legs, man, and it was like no body. You know, I guess it serves me right, right? Try to be all, trying to be all cute, right? But see, I had no body. To this day, I can't explain it. And people were hearing, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people, you know, the kids were talking about, like, they kept getting these, you know, they were at their best behavior because they kept hearing these footsteps at night, you know. And my daughter got the sheets, but kids were hearing footsteps, like someone in high heels, like, so, and then some of the women heard it, too. So this is a true story straight out of Cape May, man. Straight out of Cape May, and I believe it. Why? Because I saw those legs. And I admit it, she was sexy, man.
My,
I'm saying,
we're going.
Man, but I was like, yo, what is this? Serves me right, though. There was nothing there. It was just, you know.
I'm just trying to figure out the rest of it, weren't you?
But I tell you, that was the scariest to date. That was the scariest moment of my life, because I had no idea. Yeah. My brain was like, wait, this can't be true. And then when I realized it is
one
true.
One of your friends gets so scared his hair turned white.
That they're what?
That their hair turned white instantly.
No, I never seen that.
Oh, man. Bro, I'm asking, like I was telling you before the phone dropped off, we went into this house, and, you know, we're all in there checking it all out, and my boy Boogaloo wanted to go upstairs. We heard noises up. I'm going to go. I told him, I ain't going. I'll wait right here. He went up the stairs, and he let out the most blood-curdling scream I've ever heard somebody do. Ran down the stairs past us. His hair was bleach white, and the line of pee, you could have followed him right to the project. I tell you what, we've never seen him after
what?
That. None of us.
What do you
None
mean?
None of us.
He just,
I'm telling you, man. He went to some whack home or some shit. Yeah, man. He ain't never been the same after that, and we never knew what he thought. But all we know is that boy had black hair and came downstairs, and it was white. So he was petrified.
What?
Something scared him, like...
And he never spoke about what he saw. Hello? We lose him again?
Yeah, we lost him. Tennessee's gone.
You know, I got one that, because, you know, I'm not really afraid of these things, but I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a kid, when I was living in Coney Island at the time, I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old. I was running with a few of my friends. We went to a haunted house. It was called the Triangle. It was blue.
Okay.
And we was just there. We was just hanging out. And now, it's an abandoned house. It has a fire escape, about three floors. And we in there. We just hanging around the building. Of course, we snuck in. And one of the guys looks in the mirror, and he said he saw a face. And, you know, when you're 7 years old or 8 years old, of course you're going to, you know, he said, oh, shit, I saw a face. And everybody jetted, and they left me. And I'm like, and I said, you know what? Forget this. I jumped out the window. And when I jumped out the window, and I'm dead set. When I jumped out the window, because I was scared as shit, when I jumped out the window, I looked to the side. I see the fire escape, and I'm like, fuck. And then I landed on the floor because I could have just walked down the fire escape. You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't think. I just jumped, and I sprained my ankle and everything, and then we ran. But that was, like, the only time probably where I was just very scared of it. But other than that, I'm not that type of it. I would love to go into a – last night I was watching Ghost Adventures, and I don't know – maybe – I don't even know if you would be able to do it, but – I think there's probably one of the scariest things they did. There's a thing in, I think it's in Las Vegas somewhere. It's called The Gates of Hell. You ever heard of this?
Yeah, I know where it's at. I drove over there to check it out. I know where it's
right,
at.
Right, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it has hauntings. They went in there. And long story short, you know, they have, I don't know if got anyone here who knows what it is, but it's basically a cult, Luciferian, like a park, an amusement park with a cult thing, the 666 and everything in there. And inside, you got these people that would scare the living crap out of you. Like, you would get a heart attack. Like, they would go overboard with you. And a lady was there. She
quit her
job.
Yeah, you have to sign a waiver.
Yeah,
you got to sign a waiver there, yeah.
Yeah. She quit her job because she said there was something in there that was kind of making her do it. But anyways, make story short, the funniest thing I've ever seen. So the big guy, what's his name? The chubby guy, he was there. He went in. Make story short, there's a, yeah, there's a witch that comes out, right? It's like a fake witch, but she comes out. And then they're investigating, and they heard a voice, and all of a sudden the witch turned on and came out. What I'm talking about, that the cameraman and him almost caught a heart attack, like they almost passed out. They ran so fast, like screamed. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, that will probably maybe would have scared anybody, even me. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, but,
running so fast,
yeah.
Kicking yourself in the butt.
Oh, man, yeah. It's...
So fellas, give me a moment. I have another caller that wants to share a story. So, is she ready, Son of Cody?
Okay, this is the thing, man. She says that my son just fell asleep. People fall asleep. She doesn't want to make too much noise, but she's writing her comments. Can I read them?
Yeah, of course. Please share.
All right, hold on.
Luke.
Okay, ready?
Luke.
Okay, ready?
Luke,
I just...
Thomas. Uh-huh.
Ready? Okay, she's saying, well, the first time they made noise, referring to ghosts, I was crying in my room because I was really homesick. This is when she first went back in the fall, when she went away to college.
Okay.
And then when she started crying, she heard knocking on the walls. And she was her roommate never made it to the dorm, so she was all alone. And that was her first encounter. When she started crying, she heard knocking. Then ever since, all I heard was knocking constantly. And then one night I was asleep, and my laptop turned off on its own. Oh, turned on its own, blasting a song. And it scared me. And then I think at that point she had called me. And when she was crying... And then I had that, what do you call that scan that you can hear voices? I forgot what you call that.
EVP
scan box.
Oh, the voice box?
Yeah. So I put on the voice box, right? And then it said direction, because she wrote this down, direction, lie, inside of you, timid. So she said the next time, okay, hold on. Oh, yeah. hold on a second. So it's interesting because what I did was I also did like she recorded the knocks one night. She videotaped it, right? So when I started listening to the video, watching the video over and over and over, I just wrote the knocks. You know, I wrote down the knocks, like the patterns. And I said, damn, this is like Morse code. So then I kind of translated it. I translated it in Morse code, you know? And
wow. What was the message?
And I can remember. No, the message was like very comforting, you know? It was very comforting, like, you know, don't worry. You know, I'm here. Like, you're not alone kind of stuff. It kept saying, it was very comforting. Like, someone's, like, trying to comfort someone. You know,
wow,
and it was more cold.
Okay.
Because it was like, bam, 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 bam. And then it stopped, right? Then it goes, bam, 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 bam. It was like these patterns. So I said, this is like Morse code. But it was like all these comforting words. Yeah, it was all these comforting words. And then I taught her how to set up an altar and everything, and she did it. And that water will be like gone in a minute. She put water out, and it'll be gone. It'll be sucked dry. And so really? She got to, you know, she managed to live with the knocks, you know. But it did scare her sometimes because it came out in like middle of the night. Then eventually she came back home because of the quarantine. Uh-huh.
Also, she kept hearing it even after it was just always knock.
Yeah. Oh, and then when I went to pick her up in November to bring her back home, I said, so where did you hear these knocks, right? So she directed me like where the sounds are coming from, and there's nothing in this. There's nothing over her. It's just a roof over her, you know.
Okay.
There's nothing on the other side, and it's like cement blocks, you know. And so I just stood there, and I put on. Oh, that's when I put the voice box. Yeah. That's when it started reading about 10 minutes. But check it out. All of a sudden, I felt this heat around me, right? And then I started getting dizzy, and I started getting, like, upset stomach. And then I took some deep breaths, and I was like, whoa, this is, like, crazy, man. I was just like this is definitely, like a portal type of thing, you know? And then I got sleepy, so I said, you know what, let's leave, you know? But I definitely felt like a sorrow, like, oh, man, we're leaving, and you're leaving the ghost behind, you know? It was like, that sad, you know? So that was her story. Huh?
Did she ever inquire or try to get information as to who or what that could have been in the school?
She spoke to the, what do you call that person that's in charge of the dorm? The dorm leader, they said that there's a that they said, well, we don't want to tell you, but this dorm is haunted. That's what they said.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Haunted. So there's a lot of different stories, like, you know, people hearing screams and stuff like that. But whatever this ghost was, it was very comforting to my daughter. She wasn't alone. You know, this quarantine, can't really hang out. You know, she's in this room, you know, all by herself in Virginia, and she was very homesick, and this ghost just shows up, and it communicated the best way it could to the knocks. So yeah, she can't really talk right now, but she said she has some other stories for new shows, you know.
Can't wait to hear them. Definitely can't wait to hear them. So thank you for sharing. Hopefully she can call in next time and share them herself.
Oh, man. Yep, she's saying it, Phil. Yep, she said whenever she put water out, it was always gone. It just would disappear the same day. So,
that's pretty
a ghost, right?
Yeah.
So there you go, man. That's her story.
It's a very nice story. It's very interesting. You know, it's interesting all these people have these actual experiences, you know, that they're willing to share. But I mean, you know, what is it? What are they? And it's just always exciting to me, it's a blessing when I hear these stories that are being shared. You know, is there any other stories? Anyone else calling in that wants to share a story?
Yeah, I got one more guy here. Hold on. We all know this guy. Here we go. get buddy, you're on. Hey, hold on. All right, that's it.
All right. He's kind of possessed already. That's good. That's good. He's got first-hand knowledge.
Wow.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Our first real call. There we go.
There you go. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was hearing. I was hearing you too. That you were saying that you were using a voice box or something like that.
Yes.
To try to communicate with them. What you should try to do if you don't have one of those, you could use your microphone from your cell phone, because nowadays they make those chips and they're pretty sensitive, so it'll pick up high lows of energy. Remember, that's how they communicate through energy. So the voice box,
you know,
right. I like it sometimes, but I don't know, 60% of the time, it's hit or miss. You know what I mean? EVPs, you can't go wrong with that because you're only going to hear what they want you to hear, not what they can come up with through the box. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hey, Lou,
you know,
it's
funny.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lou. My bad. Go ahead.
Well,
no,
I'm going to share this story. When I was in Canada, once again, me and one of my closest friends out there, Matt, in the town that we lived, the area you lived across the street, that was the first house built when they discovered Manitoba, or Winnipeg, I should say. So the house, it's a cabin, it's still there. It's old. But the whole area is, like, really old, right? So one time we went out there, it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and we started to do EVPs. So I don't know if I should share this, but I'm going to share it. I go over there, I go behind the cabin, no one's around, it's pretty woodsy in that park, and I decide to, you know, kind of release myself in the bushes because I had nowhere to go, right? It was just after the, I was like, no one's around, let me, you know, do this real quick. So it was number one. And at the same time, I don't know what possessed me to do an EVP. And I was like, if anyone's here with me, let me know. Right? Please let me know. So later on, we go back, and I was like, because we were doing EVPs that whole night, because his house was haunted. As we sit down, right, we turn on the EVP, and then all I hear is a woman's voice. It started off low, and she goes, "Put it in me!" Like, it starts slow, and she yells, "Put it in me!" I was like, what the hell? I got so scared. And then we did a little bit of research, and we found out that back in the days, that was a rich area, but it became a brothel area. So that whole area was just full of prostitutes. And I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. I thought it was interesting. Anyone there? I guess.
I think we were all still a little shell-shocked by the put it in me.
That's the thing. I still have it. It's an EVP. You hear the woman. She's like, "What does that mean?" Like, she's.
Nah,
like,
I need you to send me that.
I will send it to you. I listened to that like 100 times. I was like, at first I was like, oh my God, it just spooked the hell out of me when I heard that. And then I was like, well, it makes sense. The whole area of a bunch of prostitutes or whatever the case was back in the days, but. That was a crazy EVP that I called, which I have some several EVPs that were pretty crazy. But Renee, you were going to say something? Wait a minute. Spooky Steph, you haven't said anything. Don't you have anything?
Stephanie.
My doesn't hold a candle to y'all. I mean, I'm a creepy person, but y'all are talking about some stuff where it's just like, dang.
She's taking notes. I'm afraid now. She's gonna bring this up down the line.
I think I gotta question my name now. Am I creepy stuff or am I scary stuff? Which one is it for real?
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean the crazy.
Don't make me turn your hair white.
The crazy part is, though, that I was going to say is that you live by a cemetery. Like, you've never heard or seen or anyone around you make any comments?
Well, I wouldn't say traumas.
Come
but,
on.
I will say that I guess since I've been here for, almost 10 years now in this house. And then prior to this, I actually lived around the corner from here. So literally you walk right down the street. A couple feet, you make a left, and the house that I grew up in is right down there. So I've always had little creepy things and spirits and stuff like that appear. This is just me, unfortunately. But literally, my backyard is a cemetery. If you hop the gate, you're maybe 20 feet away from the headstone. So I've had random things here happen. On a Halloween night, I had powdered footprints on my floor that started from the door of my bedroom up until the door of my bathroom in the hallway. And they were like male cowboy boots. You know how they have the little heel and the pointed toe? something similar to that. I wear Jordan all day. And at the time, you know, my kid's father, he only wore sneakers. You know, my son was a toddler at that time, so we don't know where they came from. We literally came from, like, trick-or-treating at 11 o'clock at night. It was these powdered footprints just chilling on my floor in the middle of the hallway, but I had no powder in my house.
You had no powder?
I had no powder in my house.
So you didn't put it on the floor?
I couldn't have put it on the floor. There was no powder. So I'm not big on powder. I don't like talc at all because all of the things that can, you know, be absorbed in the body or whatever. So I don't keep it in the house at all. But there was powder on my floor. And I left those footprints there for about 3 weeks before I decided to brush it away because I didn't know what to expect if I took them away. It was just going to be a, you know, whatever can happen, happens type of situation. Yeah, I hear voices in my house. Often things are moved all the time, like actually moved, like documented on a picture. It was here, and 3 hours later, it's someplace completely different, and we weren't in the house or we weren't in the room, and it's just not there anymore. We hear voices consistently. Oftentimes what I end up doing is I kind of assume some of them are trying to move on, so I just help them move on. But for the most part, yeah, it's usually just creepy stuff all the time. So I don't really have scary things that I can express that are mine, you know. Just regular little old creep shows.
You know you got freaked out. Oh, I can't find my cell phone. That's scary. You know what happens if you lose your cell phone?
Nah, not my cell phone. Honestly, if I could lose my cell phone, that might help me out a little bit throughout the day.
Because
I'd be on the
purposely trying to lose my
sometimes.
Phone. I told my wife before, I was like, no, I don't want a phone. Don't want a phone. Didn't have a phone for like 2-3 years. Had a Kindle. It was nice. Now I got this cell phone thingy, telecommunicator, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, man, welcome to the 21st century.
No, I'm good.
Sad place
I'm,
to be
I'm trying to backtrack. I'm going from City Rican to Hibaro. I'm working on it. So.
We need more Hibaro. We definitely
That's
do.
That's right. We do. We do. We need more men and women of the land. That's just what it is.
Yeah, we're going to Hibaro here for a minute.
Well, he lost.
We lost
huh?
Lou.
I'm back now. I'm back now. So I just started that
Steve's
story.
Taking notes.
But Renee, you were saying something too, right? You were going
to
say something.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to tell you a little quick one. It's kind of funny now that I think about it. I actually thought my uncle's house in Puerto Rico was a little haunted, right?
Mm-hmm.
At first, because I went over there. I was staying in Yauco. I was over there, and you know, I was staying in my cousin's room, and my cousin has a, you know, they don't use the AC, so they have a little ceiling fan, you know, and I had the fan on the floor, and I had the ceiling fan, and I'm sleeping on the floor, and he had like a bed when I went to visit, and he had a photo album on top of his old AC, which never moved. And I'm talking never, right? And I'm sleeping, and it's pitch black at night. You know, in Puerto Rico, it is black, right? And
I know it is. I love that sometimes.
Yeah, it's dark. So in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping. You know, imagine this. Imagine you in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden, you feel somebody punched you in the face.
Oh, no.
Just imagine that.
Get up swinging.
Yo, bro, I woke up. And I felt it, and I'm like, what the f-? I started, like, y'all was searching, and my hand hit the ceiling fan. I said, ah, you know, with that thing, because it's dark. I'm blind as a bat. I can't see in the dark. Bro.
Okay.
So I'm looking for the wire to switch. You know what happened, bro? The photo album fell on my head when I was sleeping, bro.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And, like I said, the photo album never moved. It looked like I was just there at the right time, and your ghost was like, man, get the fuck out of my room or something, and just pushed the thing out.
But
he probably looked at it and said, let's see what happens if I do this.
Samantha came out. He's like, yo, right? I said, yeah, man. I said, man, I thought I got somebody knocked me out. I thought somebody was trying to pick me up in the room here. Somebody came in here, you know. But good thing nobody did it. But, yeah, that was a crazy one right there. But, no, I mean, I'm just saying.
Let me ask, I thought it was.
Yep. Yep.
Let me ask anybody here if they've ever encountered what people would call a black spirit or a shadow person.
Yeah, I have.
Recently. Oh, no, I did it recently in my home, and I'm surprised it was here because, like I said before, when Nana Mama's here, she doesn't let anything happen here. She doesn't let any other ghosts or anything, you know, she protects us pretty well. So I'm cutting through my foyer again, which happens to be the hot spot in my house. And I'm walking through there, and again, I see this black shadow. I'm thinking it's my son coming down the stairs and going to the bathroom. Except this black shadow was standing right in front of me and didn't move. And then I started feeling this feeling that I get when I know I could sense energy around me, another spirit or something. And I felt it, and it got hot, like really tingly, and I felt my energy get really high. And I just looked at it, and I'm like, you know what? You don't know who you're messing with. You just better move on from this house because you will not win. Because I always stand my ground to a spirit. I never run from it. I'm a very high-energy person, so I can build up my energy to the point, like, if you want it, I'll give it to you. Most of them can't take it. So I just, you know, I just sat there and held my ground, and the next thing I know, it just darted, like, directly into the wall connected to my staircase. And
ooh,
then that feeling went away with it. And, I'll tell you right there, I was a little bit scared because I've never come face-to-face with one like that. I've always seen one running by, or you always see something like, you know what I'm saying? You ever see thought you see somebody standing right next to you?
Yeah.
So, man.
You never seen it again after that?
No. Like I said, really don't. Nana Mama does a good job at keeping eerie things out of the house. We don't really feel icky things around here too much. You know what I mean? Except her. Yeah. My wife had experience with a shadow person, woke her up right out of the middle of a dead sleep to be in her face talking about, wake up your son. And she got to the crib where my son is at, and he was almost rolled over on his belly all the way. He was choking. Was he?
Wow.
And he was choking. And it's like, so, you know, good and bad, it just depends on the spirit, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. See, I've heard stories about this shadow people. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, because I've had my experiences with these shadow things before I even knew it was a phenomenon, right? This is back in the days when I was a teenager. I started seeing it, and one day I remember I was in my place, and I turned, and I saw this shadow person, and it looked like a rim hat. Like there was a person standing there with his hat, and it just went, flew by. And I started seeing it constantly. I remember at the time I told, you know, my girlfriend at that time, I started telling her, like, man, I keep seeing this black shadow everywhere I go, and it has this hat. And she was like, yeah, you know, you're a little crazy. I was like, I'm telling you the truth. So one day she calls me, and she's like, you know, I started seeing it too. I believe you now. And she goes, what I've noticed is that every time I've seen it, something bad happens to you. Or every time you tell me that you see it, something bad happens to you. And I started putting it together, and I was like, wow, is this a bad thing? Or is it a warning, like something bad's going to happen?
Right.
You know what
I mean?
Like
if it was almost following you around?
I guess, but it's like she would see it, and when she would see it, she knew that something bad would happen to me. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, I just, one of those weird questions. And I remember years later, I came across someone else who had saw a shadow person. Then I finally Googled it when Google came out. And then I found out it was a phenomenon. So many people have come across a shadow person and had no idea. Well, I was the only, you know, I'm thinking I'm the only person in the world. And here's this thing, it solidified it for me that, oh, I'm not crazy. This is something that so many people have reported seeing. Renee, what were you going to say? I know you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that a lot of people who see shadow people, usually their experience or suffer from sleep paralysis.
This is awake, too.
Yeah, because I've seen people who've seen dark shadow, even when they're awake. even when like in the house. But what I mean is like there's a true story of a thing called shadow people. Like the term is usually associated with people who suffer from sleep paralysis too as well.
Correct. No, he's right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they usually see a man with a hat. That's what they usually see all the time, bro.
Right.
Sleep paralysis.
Right.
I only have sleep
paralysis.
Also,
I don't know if you know about that too. There's a folklore that goes behind that shadow person.
Sure.
If you dig deep enough, I did a little digging when I first started hearing about it, and it was supposed to be, I guess, an apparition of some type of entity or spirit that's watching specific souls. You know, they watch the specific souls.
Why?
You know what I mean? And I don't know. There's a part of the folklore that says they just look for pure souls that they would like to take with them, or they're watching specific souls that they feel or think they could be easily intimidated by. You get what I'm saying? Because like you said, mostly in your sleep, you know, sleep paralysis or anything like that. So, you know what I mean? And that's also reaction, natural reaction of the body. They say sometimes that's the soul reentering the body if you astral travel, if you know anything about that, when your soul leaves the body and you can visit other places, other planes, and so on and so forth. So you'll feel that as the soul enters the body. Like if you're dreaming of falling and you always wake up before you hit the ground, that's because your soul is actually jumping back into your body. So you feel that jolt, you wake up. But that's you know, that's like I said, it's 50-50. So it depends on the research that you do and who says it.
Yeah, I've heard that many times too. Or if you're flying around, you're actually out of your body at that point. Or if you're dreaming, you're in space, you're astral projecting. You know, I've had dreams like that. You know, I don't know if I was actually astral projecting, but you know, some of it does feel real. I can tell you that. But the shadow people, I've always been really curious about. You know, because of my experience and what they look like. Like, what are these beings? And they have these hats. You know, it's just awkward. Mm. Like almost like pilgrims or something from a different era that are still lingering around. But that thing about trying to take your soul or watch a specific soul, for some reason it resonates with me. Like it makes sense to me with this folk, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have more information, please share it. I definitely...
Oh, I will. This won't be the last time I call the show. I got information on a lot of stuff, man. I've dabbled in a lot of stuff most of my life. And, you know, the only thing I'm not is a super-duper expert on YouTube. But I can dang sure give you enough information on a lot of stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I only have sleep paralysis.
I love to share.
Once. Only once I had sleep paralysis. But I didn't see the dark shadow because I was fighting it and I kind of woke up on time. But I couldn't, I couldn't move my body. My eyes was open.
Yeah. Like,
but I couldn't move my body.
I've had that. I shared that in the last show. I think we spoke when I had my paralysis situation, and I did hear something, and I had an experience as well, you know. But then again, is it scientific? You know, is it just you're in a dream state, or is it real? Or are we entering a dream, like a spiritual state at the same time where we're opening that door, you know, with our brains?
Right.
You know, who knows? Who knows what's really out there? But yeah,
depending on how strong of a person you are within your belief in that, too, it can also trigger that. So you can be opening your door with yourself and not even really knowing it, you know, just scaring the heck out of yourself while doing it.
Correct. You know what's interesting that you say that? I came from a family that was very religious, very Roman Catholic growing up, and they never dabbled in anything else, at least not that I know of. They never believe in anything else. And it's interesting because I've always seen things and experienced things, even though I've never, you know, was involved with spiritual stuff. It was always religious
stuff. But spiritual
stuff
is, you see, that's the thing, though. Being raised in a religion, it kind of formulates your mind to ignore the spiritual because you're focused on faith. You know what I mean? Spiritual is something that you can internally feel. Faith is something that you leave yourself to search because we're busy down here looking up instead of up looking down. You get what I'm saying?
Correct.
If you get that metaphor at all.
Correct.
So that's where that does it. To me, I grew up in a Catholic. I served as an altar boy for 4 years, confirmation, communion, did everything. I'm a spiritual modern-day Buddhist right now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
After going through all that and reading and studying and, just finding out the ins and outs were just not for me. It didn't resonate inside myself. So you know what I mean? So it also depends, too, because a lot of religious people look at this as signs from Jesus or from God. The angel's telling you this, or they're doing that stuff, or it's God's way of saying this to you. Now, you ask a spiritual person that way, they'll just say, no, that's just the Tao of things, the nature of stuff. We're just all energy. We live in bodies and cars, and, you know, death is just all an illusion. So, but you know, I guess it depends on who you ask on what their retort will be on this type of situation, I guess.
Yeah, but my point was, going back to that, like, even though I was never exposed to spirituality or ghosts or anything like that, for some reason, I would always have paranormal experiences. You know what I mean?
There's that's other awesome, people that that's would, awesome.
It is, because for me, it's no one can tell me other. I know what I believe, and I know that those experiences are real. You know, and I pretty much believe I'm a sound person. You know, I'm a regular person. I have a normal life. I work. I do this, do that. Right? I don't dabble in certain stuff. I'm not into certain things. But you know, for someone that's never been exposed to any kind of other stuff to have had paranormal experiences, you know, that was my point. Other people are opened up since they're young to have these visions or to see things, but someone that's never really been exposed to that, to see that, to me, it just shows that this stuff is real. It's out there. I didn't go looking for it, you know, as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, but I would see things. I was scared the hell out of me in my house. I knew it was haunted growing up, and that's just part of life, you know. How many other kids going
can I ask
stuff,
you an
right?
honest question?
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, do you think as a child, or can you think back to say to yourself, did you think those things were a religious thing that you didn't understand what that spiritual thing was? How did you perceive that?
As something that I just scared the hell out of me. I'll share one story.
that makes perfect
scary.
Sense.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thinking about, like, God or Jesus or anything like that at that time. I just had to – so check this out. I was maybe 6 years old. And I remember I was walking into, I saw my dad sitting down in the chair. So I walk over to my dad in the chair, but my dad didn't react to me, right? And I'm looking at my dad. People may think this is a dream, and that's cool, but this is a true experience. As I'm looking at my dad just rocking back and forth in his underwear in the chair. And I was like, this is weird, right? And then he gives me this smile, but the smile was scary. It wasn't a good smile. I turn around to leave. And I see my dad behind me, and he has his work uniform. I'm getting goosebumps because I remember this vividly, clearly. And then I'm like just standing there looking at my dad, and then I turn around, and my dad's my dad's behind me and in front of me. One dad is in the rocking chair, his underwear, my other dad's standing by the door. So then one dad starts going, hey, he starts smiling, giving like this evil smile. So I run out. And the dad that's in front of me to get out of the bedroom, he grabs me by my shirt and picks me up, I remember. And he says, going, and then I fell. And then I remember I got up and I ran screaming to my mother. And I was like, Mom, Mom. I told her what happened. And she's like, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. And I was like, no, Mom, I was awake. I was awake. Because I would see things all the time. Years later, years as an adult, they admitted to me, you know what? Yeah. We can't explain. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened, but how are we supposed to tell you? Yeah, we didn't know. We didn't. Like, there was just something. Go to sleep. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It's in, you know, it's in your head.
Yeah, how do you explain all of that technical stuff to a child? I get it. Yeah.
Exactly. So the last thing in my mind is religion. It's just experiences that I would have, you know. But,
right.
You know, when I was a kid, Lou, when I was living in Bed-Stuyvesant, as an adult now, now that I think about it, and I told my mother this many times, you remember the little carts? What do you call those? Jeeps back in the days for kids that you could just charge them and drive in a house outside and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. The power wheels or something like that.
There you go, the power wheels. Yeah. So I used to have one. And one day I was driving down the house. I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old. I remember clear as day. And I used to see these white mists all the time. But I didn't think of it because I didn't know what was the ghost. I didn't understand what it was. But I used to see them all the time. And I want to go, now that I'm an adult and I go to my mother's house, my sister used to say, yeah, you know, Ma, back in the day, there was some things I used to see in the house there. And I was like, I did too. So it kind of confirmed that what I saw was kind of real, you know? So, yeah.
No, it was real.
That
kind of, it was real.
Exactly. It was real. You have confirmation that it was telling you that it was real. Well,
and, you know, I'm a, like I said, I'm very skeptical. I haven't had many, you know, kind of a lot of experiences, but I try to approach things more from a logical perspective because I don't want to look like
absolutely.
There's always a logical explanation for certain things, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, you can have a little, cup, right? And it could be sliding and you'd be like, oh shit, but wait a minute, there's water on the table that's making it, you know, slippery, you know? So,
exactly.
You know, there's always a logical explanation.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you guys 100%. You know, like I said, I don't take everything as face value. You know, I will listen. I will try to understand. But I'm also going to try to debunk and see if it's real because there's a lot of people that you know, they're delusional or it may be a true experience to them, but it's something that may not really be paranormal. So I really try to get to the bottom of it where it's something that we can all experience. And to me, then that's more of a, something that can be more proven because now there's more people that have witnessed it. And that's more like we can prove it towards science, right? Now it's just more realistic. So I totally agree with that perspective or the objective on how to view the paranormal. But with that said, fellas, I want to say thank you so much, man. You know, everyone that called in, it was really amazing to have you guys on and really share
hey,
your
Lou.
Stories. I think we ran out of time. Yeah,
thanks for having me. I'd love to come back again.
Luke, guess
absolutely.
What?
What happened?
The ancestors want to talk. I dug up
right.
some writings, La Relación of Fray Ramón Pané. Remember, there was a lot of recordings of our how our ancestors lived and did ceremonies and what were they thinking. But guess what? Chapter 13 states, from our people, of the forms which they assign to the dead, they say that during the day, the dead live in seclusion. And at night, they walk around in recreation and eat a fruit called guayaba. But at night, wait, hold on. At night, they have festivals that keep company with the living. The Indians have this method of identifying dead people. They touch the belly of a person with their hand. And if they do not find a navel, they say that person is an opia, which means dead. For they say that the dead persons have no navels. Sometimes one who does not take this precaution and lies over women of Guave is mocked. For when he holds her in his arms, she suddenly disappears and his arms are empty. And they believe this to be so. Hold on a second. They say there was a man who wished to fight with a spirit, but when he closed with it, it disappeared, and the man flung his arms around a tree from whose branches he hung. All of them, young and old, believe this, and they also believe that the spirits appear to them in the shape of their father, their mother, their brothers, their relatives, or in some other shape. The fruit that they believe the dead eat is the size of a peach. The dead do not appear to them by day, but only by night. And therefore, one who walks about at night feels great fear. What you think about that? See, we had our ghost stories back then.
No, absolutely. It reminds me of my mother when I'm out there in Puerto Rico and they tell me old sayings. They would tell her, like, you know, I think she would say, one of them was, si tu buscas por un gato con tres patas lo va a encontrar, or something like that. Or and another one she would say is, you know, the nighttime is made for sleep and the daytime is made to be awake, because at nighttime is when you start seeing things. And that's because you're supposed to be sleeping.
Wow.
See, you know,
if that was me back in the day, I find that nice looking woman, I'll start hugging her and she'll disappear. See that would happen to me, man, back in the day.
It already happened.
That's because
you're always dating taller women.
Huh?
It already happened with the lady with the sexy legs. She disappears. You was like, I've been.
No. Sarah Cody, you got to start getting shorter women. They're that tall. They're going to hug you. You disappear.
That's it, man. That's it. It's like, Lou, I got this beautiful woman. What's up? And all of a sudden, where else he went? Where'd she go?
They walk away like, yeah, sure he does. He's dating that ghost girl again.
Mm-hmm. But,
when's the next Cryptoid show going to be?
Every Monday.
When the next what?
The Cryptoids, Bigfoots and all that other stuff.
Oh, every Monday.
Hey, all right, good. I got to call in and give y'all some pointers, man, some insight. I'm big on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're more than welcome. Renee's a freaking caller. He's more than welcome. Renee's fan. We know each other from back from New York, you know. Used to go
hey, that's cool.
And
I appreciate you guys letting me in the family like that, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have an idea that makes I would make the show kind of interesting if anyone's up for it.
What's up?
I do this a lot with a couple of my friends. We can also do like a movie night where we watch like haunted shows. We used to do it in Zoom. We used to watch a haunted show. We would discuss it to see what you think of it. What is the, what you think is real? Have this and that. That's what we would do.
I do that already at home.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So true. That's cool.
You know what?
Get that going. I even got some stuff we can watch.
We could do something like that once a month. That'd be kind of cool. Every once a month,
yeah,
we have a specific show. We all pick a movie, and then all callers can call in too and share their ideas or opinions on it. I thought that's a great idea. Definitely.
Well, check out that movie, the Adventures of Spooky Lou and Scary Steph.
We'll have that movie for y'all.
You know what?
It would be good
if I could get permission from this place over here. I live like not even 5 minutes away from one of the most haunted places out here in West Tennessee. It's the West Tennessee Western Mental Health place. It's closed down to half of it, but I'm telling you, that place is so haunted. You don't even have to go in there to experience stuff. Just walk around.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we've done it. My wife's cell phone went from 100% to 50%, just her sticking the phone in a window to take a picture of her room that didn't even develop.
What? Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about it's just that haunted. It's sick.
There's no way. Is there any way you could set something up maybe one day we can go visit and go
I possibly
there?
Could. I just have to go over there and talk to someone. I don't know if they'll probably give us a walk around tour, but I could ask.
Hey, Lou,
about
I'm
it.
Down.
That's the best I could do.
Hey, Lou.
Man, we can do it.
Yeah.
Lou,
I'm down.
Yeah, Lou.
Of course. We should set something up. Whoever wants to come, we can take a trip and meet out there and go explore and do something. Absolutely.
I'm down, Lou.
Yeah, that'd make a great video, too, man.
Of course, Renee. I got you, Renee. No worries. We could figure something out. And then,
that's what's
could,
up. So we'll get some information on that, and I'll get back to you. Yeah. That'll give us plenty of time to set things up. So that's cool, man. I'll do my homework.
I'm going to Albuquerque next week, and there's a lot of haunting stuff there. I'm trying to see if I can go to Ghost Town there to see if there's any kind of
family out there.
Yeah.
Albuquerque? Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to Albuquerque next week.
You go out there, keep your eyes open, man. Try to film things, And you too, Will, if you get any stuff, if you could please share it on my page, I would really appreciate it.
Alright, that sounds like something, man. I got plenty of places out here to explore and give you videos on haunted houses. And I mean, their houses out here, I'm living 100 plus years old. So, got plenty of places. I'll do my best. I'll get my kids on top of it, too. We're all cinematically inclined.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, like I said, I think we ran out of time. Did we, Lou?
We're way over time.
I think we ran out of time.
We're not live.
I want to thank everyone who listened, who participated, everyone that called in. Thank you very much. It's much love and appreciated. Thank you for sharing your stories. And absolutely, next week, same deal, same time. Everyone come join us, call, and let's just make this grow. Appreciate your time.
Yes,
thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of
All you guys.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you all, and
good
I'll
night,
see you
everyone.
All again.
Like always.
Absolutely.
Good night, Mrs. Steph.
Thank you, Steph.
Okay,
thank
man,
you, Steph.
We got this, man.
Good
just
night,
sure
guys.
Check up, just make sure you check under your
oh,
bed
sorry.
And your closet
that's
before you go to
me.
Sleep.
I'm sorry. That's my wife's cousin. She didn't let that fly by. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Bed.
I love you all, and I'll talk to you again.
All right, man.
Likewise.
Check under your
good
bed
night.
And your closet. Check under your beds before you go to sleep.
I'm not scared. I'm good. Nana Mama got me.
Cool.
Yeah.
You didn't see nothing go
to sleep.